Amen once again. How I just love that song, that phrase, come and see what God has done. Have you ever thought about what a powerful invitation that is? Come and see what God has done, this story of amazing love, the light of the world that has been given for us. What powerful, holy, hopeful words today. Friends, as we prepare for the sermon, will you go to God in prayer with me? O great light of the world, our God, how we do want to know you more, to come and see all that you have done for us and for so many, loving us out of darkness into light, leading us out of despair into hope, empowering us with that same light and love and hope so that we too could be part of all you are doing in this world to heal and redeem and restore and make us whole. Be with us in these moments, O Lord, our light. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our God. Amen. Well, friends, this morning as we open God's Word together, I have to share with you that I am actually quite excited to be exploring these few verses in the Gospel of John with you. If you are not familiar with it, I want to say that the Gospel of John is simply fascinating. In the first chapter alone, portions of which we have read today, we find this incredible theology. We find this beautiful, poetic, and dramatic language, this effort, it seems, on the part of the author to help us begin to understand the holy, cosmic, mysterious, and wondrous thing that God has done in putting on flesh and in making God's home with us here on earth in Jesus Christ. I would encourage you this week, I would invite you maybe even this afternoon to take a moment and sit down and read that full first chapter of John. It's not too long, but it is action-packed. It provides this inspiring language. Things like Jesus as the Word of God, the Word with God from the beginning, as the Word that is life and light for all people. Jesus as this light that shines in the darkness, right? Is this familiar? And the darkness has never overcome this light. You read how all things come into being through this Word and through this light, Jesus, and that this is light that shines on all people. But it is unfortunately neither recognized nor welcome when Jesus arrives. And as you read that first chapter, just as you might start to feel a tinge of the despair and the sadness of humanity's failure to see God right in front of us, the author of John reminds us that all who welcome Christ are indeed children of God. That God is faithful to offer grace upon grace to us all. And as you read just chapter 1, you get this preview of an entire gospel filled with wonder and mystery and awe of God's great love for all of creation. It is truly mysterious and magnificent, this entire Gospel of John, and all this language of light and dark give us the sense that God is at work in the world around us. Sometimes in very dramatic ways and other times in very subtle ways. And that even as God takes on flesh and dwells among us here on earth, God also invites each one of us to a purpose, to a mission, to an opportunity to invite others into the life and the light of God in Christ. This is the overall backdrop of the Gospel of John, both this cosmic, yet very earthly and tangible way God is at work bringing light to the world, constantly inviting us to be an active and powerful part of that light as well. And here In this first chapter of John, we learn first about this man named John, who was sent from God to be an active and powerful part of sharing God's light with the world. Now, specifically in our scripture today, all we know about this John is that he has a singular purpose, a very specific mission that God has called him to. He is to be a witness. I want to invite you to say that with me right now. He is to be a witness. In this gospel, we are not told that this John is the cousin of Jesus. We are not told that this John is the one who eats locusts and wild honey or that he wears camel skin for clothing. That's the John we heard about last week. We do not even hear him referred to in this gospel as John the Baptizer, though we do learn that he is baptizing. Now, very typical of the mystery surrounding the Gospel of John, we are given a mysterious yet very simple picture of the man sent from God named John. He is to be a what? A witness. He is to give a first-hand account, a testimony, a report, a true and accurate description of the light that has come into the world so that everyone who hears this testimony, everyone who meets this witness John would believe in this light. And remember, who is that light we're referring to? It's none other than Jesus. The one we just sang about, love incarnate, love divine, Jesus, the Word from the beginning, the light of all people, and John is sent by God to be a witness to this light so that all might believe. So, you know, no pressure on John here or anything, right? And yet, as we read of John's interactions with the priests and the Levites in verses 19 through 28 of this scripture, you know, John does not seem to be overly worried about how other people receive or perceive him as an individual. Now, he seems very intent on sticking to his purpose, his mission, his call to be what? To be a witness. To invite people to focus all their attention on Jesus, the one who comes after him and whom John says is so great that John is not even worthy to untie his sandal straps. And in that somewhat comical conversation that John has with these priests and Levites, who are clearly feeling very pressured by their religious leaders to provide some answers on who this John fellow is, you know, John spends more time stating who he is not than clarifying who he actually is. And so in response to their persistent questions, he tells them that he is not the Christ. He is not Elijah. He is not the prophet. Essentially, he is not the Savior they are looking for, nor expecting. And in exasperation, the priests and the Levites ask him, well, who are you then? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And so finally, John discloses who he really is. John identifies himself as a witness. And he does so by saying that he is a voice crying out in the wilderness to make the Lord's path straight. And John connects himself with the prophet Isaiah and points beyond himself to Jesus, just as he will do throughout the entire Gospel of John when he says things like, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. In this first conversation John has and in his actions throughout this entire gospel, John makes it clear that his understanding of his call is to be a witness, one that invites attention and focus and worship not toward himself, but always toward the light, always toward the life and the love of Jesus Christ. John is not concerned or anxious for what people might think or say about him. Rather, he is focused on witnessing, on sharing his story and experience of the goodness and the grace of God all so that he might help make a straight path for God's light, a straight path for God's love to simply overwhelm and envelop and empower other people. What John says about himself is essentially that he will do whatever he can to help prepare as many people as he can to be as ready as they can to recognize all that light that they will encounter in Jesus. He will be a witness so that they will believe in all that light and in all that love. So friends, on this, our third Sunday of Advent, this day when we wear and sing and claim joy in the midst of difficult and dark times. I don't know about you, but I find this story of John, this priority he makes to witness to others about the goodness of God, I find that to be quite encouraging and hopeful, inspiring and empowering. And I wonder what kind of witness God might be calling me to be in these days and in these times. I wonder if perhaps all of us would do well to pause for just a moment. Maybe take a deep breath and take a cue from John and think for a few moments about our own witness, our own stories and experiences of the goodness of God. Or perhaps, you know, we might think about the dear ones in our lives who have been a witness to us, those who have shared their lives and stories with us in a way that helped us to see and to recognize and to believe in the light and in the love of God for all people. I mean, perhaps we are even bold enough to ask ourselves that question that was asked of John, right? What do I say about myself? What kind of witness am I? How do I give voice to the goodness of God in my life? And in these challenging days, how might I, like John, get myself kind of out of the way and help make a more straight path for God so that others can experience the grace and the goodness, the light and the love of Christ. Friends, we are each called to be a witness to the light and to the love of Christ, and God has gifted each of us to do so in very creative and very unique ways, unique only to us. I know for me that as I reflect on the witnesses in my own life who have helped me to see and to recognize and to embrace and believe in the light and in the love of Jesus, the first person who always comes to mind for me is my grandma. Her name was Emma. Of course, my daughter is named after her. And I think of the gracious hospitality, of the love that she extended to anyone who entered her very humble, small home. She really did not have a whole lot, but she did have a green thumb and she had a frying pan. And so that meant that whenever someone walked into my grandma's house, according to my mom, they were asked two things: how are you, and are you hungry? And then mom says that grandma would feed them whatever they needed: cornbread and vegetable soup from the garden, or compassion and care in times of distress. And then I would say that likewise in my own home growing up, you know, my mom and dad opened the doors of our home to everyone. Lord love them. When my brother and I were teenagers, we had friends over at our house all the time. And you know what they were asked when they were walking in? My mom would holler out, "How are you? And what are you having to eat today?" And my parents would simply be present with us. They would accept us. They would love us. They would support not only me and my brother, but all of our rowdy friends as well. Because I don't know if you know this, but sometimes when you're a teenager, you get a little bit dramatic about things. You get a little silly about things. you get overactive about things. And sometimes they're really legitimate stress and grief. And so to have people who welcome and embrace and honor all of that is an incredible gift. So you see, the witness of my grandma and my parents helped me believe in the light of Christ. Because when I was older and I read scripture stories of Jesus dining with people from all walks of life, Jesus making space at dining room table after dining room table, Jesus breaking the bread and sharing the cup and naming as children of God all of those whom society said were not welcome. Well, that just made sense to me because my grandma and my parents lived in a way that was a clear witness to the extravagant love and hospitality we come to know in the light of Jesus Christ. And I could name countless other witnesses who have helped me recognize the light and the love of Jesus in the world. I think of my friends in Bethlehem who work so hard for God's justice and God's grace, who take such good care of those in need in their community, who somehow live each day with laughter and with joy, with expectation and with hope, even in the midst of this brutal occupation that has taken so much of their freedom and opportunity away from them or from their families. I have better eyes to see injustice now because of them, and I have a more determined heart to speak out and join hands with people of faith in this own community so that through amazing groups like Just Pensacola, we can all together be a witness for the light we have come to know in God. I think of all of you. I look out over this congregation. I'll go back this afternoon and look at all of you who worshiped online with us, and I will think about the many witnesses of this Cokesbury church who are so very thoughtful and intentional in using your words and your actions to testify not to yourselves, but to the love of God for all. Every mask this congregation has made and donated, every phone call or window visit of care you make to those who are struggling or lonely, every food box delivered with Manna food pantries to those who are hungry, every donation of time and resources to Home Elementary School, cooking and serving a Thanksgiving meal at Bright Bridge Ministries, supporting teachers and staff at our Cokesbury Children's Center with even more cards and even more meals, or joining with groups like Just Pensacola, this interfaith group working for justice and seeking transformation and healing and wholeness for all, especially the most vulnerable in our community. My friends, do you see that in your words and in your actions, in the little and in the large things of life, God invites us always to be a witness to the light and the love of Jesus, always at work in the world around us. Just as we could name those who witnessed to God's goodness in their own lives and therefore helped us believe in the light and in the love of Jesus, we too have the opportunity each day, each moment, to witness to that same light that has come into the world and that is for all people. And just as we see in the person of John, we too, each one of us, has a mission. We too have a purpose. We too have a call from God. And we are called to be like John, so that means we are called to be what? To be a witness. That's right. So in these days of Advent, in these days of holy waiting, these days when stubborn joy is absolutely determined to take down the darkness with even the smallest light, friends, may we be brave and bold enough as John to ask ourselves, what kind of witness is God calling me to be today? Know that you have a unique role to play in helping others to believe in the goodness and grace of God in this world. And so as we look to God to guide us, may we find the joy of Christ and the opportunity to witness to the light of Christ to all God's people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.